You presided over a car bombing case in Tulsa.
Judge Fred Nelson.
Tell us about that.
Fred Nelson was a district judge, and he, as a matter of fact, was presiding over these cases involving McDonnell and Pugh, some of them. They had several, you know.
Cleo Epps
murder case. At any rate, he was running for re-election as a judge. One of the defense counsel for McDonnell and Pugh was also an announced candidate. And on the morning of the election, Fred Nelson got into his car to go vote, as a matter of fact, and it exploded. They had planted a bomb in there. He was almost killed, but very seriously injured. Despite that, he was reelected enormously. All of the local judges disqualified because of their close association with him. And I was assigned to try that case, the bombing case, and the Cleo Epps murder case, and Arliss Delbert Self murder case, and three or four more others. So I went up to Tulsa to try all of those and tried several of them before I was appointed to the Civil Aeronautics Board.
District Attorney Buddy Fallis.
Buddy Fallis was the prosecuting attorney. He's still alive and in Tulsa. I saw him a couple of 3 years ago. He seems to be doing well.
Yeah, and I interviewed him for our website. You were asked to talk to a young lady who was named Molly Shy.
Molly Shy was the daughter of a doctor in Stratford, Oklahoma, born there. She was a school teacher. I had a friend in Ada that I had appointed to be the master of the only grand jury I called while I was in Ada on the bench. And he asked me to speak with her, said she was contemplating attending law school, but she was a little concerned about a woman's place in the law at that time and whether she could do it successfully, and wanted to know if I'd be willing to talk with her. I'd taught at OU and was on the state bench down there. I told him, of course, I'd be happy to. I didn't know her. But she came, and we visited, and it became very apparent very quickly that she wasn't going to encounter any problems becoming a good student and a good lawyer or doing anything that she wanted to. So I encouraged her strongly. Fortunately, I told her she would have no difficulty and she should do it by all means. Well, she did. She became an outstanding law student. And then she came to Ada and served on the state court bench as a special judge shortly after I left for Washington, D.C., but fortunately for me, she then later married David Bourne, who was the governor of the state of Oklahoma, later U.S. Senator. So my appointment to the federal bench came up. He has openly confessed that of the candidates, every night when he came home, the last words he'd hear were Lee West, Lee West, Lee West. So I don't think that played a small part in my fortunate ability to get appointed to this position.
But you had, should I say, contact with David Bourne because when he ran for state house from Seminole County, his opponent was Bill Wantland, and that was a close election.
That was a close election, and I was assigned up there to preside over the recount. That was for David's first attempt at public office. He and Bill Wantland ran. During the recount, fortunately for me, it turned out the same way. As a matter of fact, I think David picked up a few votes so that he won even more than he had. And I don't have any doubt but that he and Molly would have gone on to great success. But I'm not sure I would have ever been appointed a federal judge if it had not been for those two things. If he'd lost that election, I don't think there's any possibility that I ever would have.
Why do you think you were a Democrat?
Well, I don't know. When I was a very young guy, this whole state was strongly Democrat, great FDR, New Deal supporters. And I can't help but remember with gratitude that my mother was able to get a job for the WPA, earning $21 a month as a bookbinder. She did that while I was in grade school and, well, until my father was killed. I remembered that, and I always believed, and I still believe, that government is not the enemy. I mean, I just really do believe that government programs, although some of them can get out of whack and out of hand, the government is here to to help us rather than to hurt us. And although it's been strange sometimes, I still believe that. I believe, because of that experience and what has happened since then, that the Democrat Party still more likely represents the interest of the larger part of the people in this country than do the Republicans. I have had great support from Republicans. All of my colleagues, almost all are Republicans. They're all very close, dear friends of mine. And I have had many, many good, close Republican friends. But I still remain a registered Democrat. I try to tell them that I don't want my being a Democrat to ever influence a decision that I make. And they all assure me that I've failed in that frequently, as a matter of fact.
But this Republican, Henry Bellman, while he named you to the state bench, he gives you another call about a possible vacancy on the Civil Aeronautics Board. The CAB was created in 1938 to regulate and promote the airline industry. One of the architects of that was Oklahoma Senator Mike Mulroney. You must have done a good job as a Democrat, because here comes Republican Bellman saying, you know what, we'd really like to have you here in Washington.
Henry Bellman was an astonishing man, in my opinion. I have as much respect for him, not only because he's been nice to me, but because he's been such a great person to the state of Oklahoma and for the state of Oklahoma. He was always pretty interested in trying to get Oklahomans involved in the federal government if the opportunity arose. He called me and he told me just that. I said, well, I thought I'd broke you of appointing Democrats to anything. And he said, well, unfortunately, this is a Democratic position on the Civil Aeronautics Board, and I'm always trying to get Oklahomans involved, and would you and Marianne consider it? So I said, well, give me a few days to think about it. And sure enough, the idea appealed to Marianne, quite frankly, more than it did to me. But I called him and told him. He said, well, it's not likely to happen. I just didn't want to advance your name until and unless you had agreed to it. He did. Sometime later, I got a call from Mr. Albert, Carl Albert, who was the Speaker of the House at the time. He said, Judge, I just wanted you to know that I've been advised that your name has been submitted to the White House to be a member of the Civil Aeronautics Board, and I have called and enthusiastically endorsed and support you for that. Well, I was apologetic to him. I said, Mr. Speaker, I apologize because I didn't even think it was going to happen anyhow, and I didn't even have the good judgment to call you. He'd been my congressman almost all my life. He said, don't worry about that. He said, there ain't anything I like doing more than helping someone who needs help. And so I'm extremely grateful to him for his support, and it was substantial as Speaker of the House. But anyhow, that came about, much to my surprise. We had some ups and downs because of American Airlines and typical Washington suspicion of some obscure small-town judge getting appointed to a national regulatory agency. But we got through that without too much trouble.
Senator Dewey Bartlett at the time was a big defender of you.
He was a great defender and appeared at my hearing and supported me.
And was a Republican, and here he is defending you.
He was indeed. He was indeed.
Yeah, American Airlines had contributed to the Nixon campaign, and they thought maybe because American Airlines had a plant in Tulsa that there was some partiality going on here. But you got through all that. You had all these letters of support. What was your job then? Can you describe what you were doing then, the day-to-day matters of the CAB?
We regulated the airlines from an economic standpoint. We had formerly had safety. CAB had under the bill, but that had been moved over to the Department of Transportation. So all we had to do is to regulate routes and rates. In other words, we negotiated agreements with foreign countries, and we authorized the flights from one city to another here in the United States and the frequency of that. It was just a constant ongoing affair of having hearings, approving rates, approving routes, and negotiating agreements with foreign countries for their right to fly into our country and our right to fly into theirs at certain intervals.
You also promoted getting rid of smoking on airplanes.
I did. I hardly ever smoke, but I always felt that secondary smoke was as bad as, or almost as bad as, direct smoking. So I encouraged all my colleagues. I said, I'll join with you on any restrictive vote on allowing smoking on airlines, because I think it should be eliminated altogether. Whatever the most restrictive program you all will agree to, I'll join with you on that. We've made some restrictions on it, but it didn't, of course, until later pass.
But it started with you.
That's exactly right.
Right. And so we have you to thank for that.
Well, I hope so. I'll take all the credit I can get.
And you should. You became close friends with a Democrat from New York, which is an interesting tie here. Tell us who he is.
His name was Joe Manetti, and he was an Italian from the Bronx. He and I formed a close personal relationship. I used to joke it was because of the similarity of our backgrounds. Brooklyn and Antlers are very much alike, you know, but he and I were kind of kindred spirits. He was a big influence on me. He was the first one that guided me the strongest in saying, now, airlines are going to try to do you favors. They're going to do everything they can for you, and don't let them. He said, now, you think about anything they offer you, and if you don't want it on the Washington Post front page, if it wouldn't read good, just don't do it. Sure enough, that turned out to be good advice, because Bob Timm, our first chairman there, he accepted a golf trip and got, in effect, kicked off the board for that. A lot of other people got into bad situations. So he gave me good advice on that. He was an interesting man. He was a very bright man. His wife, interestingly enough, was the widow of Joseph McCarthy, the notorious Joseph McCarthy. And she and my wife and two children became very close friends. She was a wonderful lady, and they spent a good deal of time. And my daughter, Kim, wrote a thesis of some kind about Joe and about her.
Did you talk to her about her former husband, Joseph McCarthy? Did you get a feel?
I did, and as you might expect, she's very loyal to him. You know, she would not say anything very critical of him at all, although I know she was concerned about it. But she was most critical of Roy Cohn, his lawyer, and one other guy as having influenced him and directed him in the wrong direction. But she never could bring herself to personally criticize her dead husband. And I respected that. She was his widow. They were married when he died. And then she later married Joe Manetti. He was as liberal or more than I am. And I know he personally didn't think very well of McCarthy. But he, like me, I think he sort of respected the fact that she wasn't going to be critical of her first husband, because she then might be pretty critical of her second husband.